And welcome back to Mental Health Alliance. We got another really exciting show today. We've got four people in the room to go over some really interesting mental health issues. But you are listening to KRUU FM 100.1 and on the internet everywhere on this planet that we still are on.
And you are listening to Mental Health Matters here in Fairfield with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Hubler.
So, Rob, tell us who we got today.
Well, we have two wonderful people. We have Sandy Stever and Becky Schmitz, and I'll let them introduce themselves. Becky, we've had you on the show before. We've had great shows in the past, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, especially today, I'm kind of wearing two hats. I am on the Jefferson County Board of Supervisors and have been involved in mental health to a great degree at that level, because I'm part of the region that we developed on July 1st, 2014, which was part of state legislation that asked counties to form regions to provide more consistent and broader services for mental health for citizens of the state. And we formed a region with 8 counties, making the southeast corner of the state. And we have, we've been in existence since July 1st. Seems like a lot longer than that, because we're providing a wide array of services that hopefully we'll touch on this morning. And I'm also a licensed social work therapist, LISW, and I do contract therapy work for Optime and also have a private practice.
You're doing everything.
Yeah.
The 8 county group is called Southeast Iowa Link.
Southeast Iowa Link, yes.
What are the 8 counties, or some of the 8?
Okay, so try to name them off quickly. Keokuk, Jefferson, Van Buren, Lee, Des Moines, Henry, Louisa. Did I get them? Washington. Missed one.
Wapello is on its own?
We don't have anybody to the west of us.
Okay.
So you're coordinating with a lot of different groups in a lot of different areas to make a difference.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that's been really exciting about it is getting a lot of collaboration among providers of the whole range of mental health services, and they've been working together, which is really great, because on one level they're competitors, because they're competing for dollars. But they've been working together and sharing expertise and ideas.
How are you pulling people together? What are you doing?
All right, hold up for a minute. Let's introduce Sandy.
Sandy.
Yeah, hi, Sandy. Hello.
Sandy, tell us about yourself.
Sandy Bradley Stever. I still slip into that, and it's okay. That's my maiden name in the middle. And I'm born and raised here in Fairfield. My family, to tell you about myself, my ancestors, my family actually founded Jefferson County, and I'm quite proud of that.
Wow.
And so I'm 6th generation here in the county, and then I have a child and a grandchild, which is 7th and 8th, but whatever. And I don't think with my cousins and what have you that there's anything beyond 8th here somewhere within the county.
It's great. It's great to meet you, because generally I'm able to say that I'm one of the longtime residents here. I was here. I graduated from Parsons College back in 1971, so I was here. And all of my friends around here are newcomers since then. But now you are a original.
I'm an original. And with Parsons College, when I was a senior in high school, my second semester, I went out there and took calculus and trigonometry.
Ooh.
Because they were asking for anybody that could, because they actually closed May of 73, and that's when I graduated from high school. But I went out there, and I can legitimately say I attended Parsons College.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So I have human service degrees. My college degrees are in 3 subjects, full majors in sociology, psychology, and criminal justice. You know, I'm a go-getter, and I've been working in this field. I just added it up. I'm shocked. It's 39 years this year. You know, I know. I'm surprised, but it's 39 years. my role with the my current role with the county started in 2004. So I'm in my 11th year as our central point of coordination for mental health services. And just last July, legislation changed the title to Coordinator of Disability Service. And, you know, the average person, including at our psych hospitals, think of us as mental health administrators. So basically, we answer to anything.
And so what do you guys actually do?
What do I do? Yeah. I work with individuals who are trying to access services and try to get them into the services that they really truly show a need for. And, you know, we don't go for wants, you know, for instance. I mean, there's people out there that, I mean, if they want to go live in a home in the Bahamas, we just aren't going to do that, okay. For example. But we have a lot of services right here in Jefferson County. In fact, of our 8 counties that Becky just named in our SEAL region, I have to tell you that, and I'm not just saying this because I'm biased, but Jefferson County is way out there ahead of the other 7. Not that we're trying to be competitive, but we just have really strong providers and good providers. And like Becky said, we all work well together and such that we have services that I can refer those people to. I do provide some direct service if necessary, and there are a handful of people that actually in my office, instead of trying to do that social work piece of coordinating and getting to other providers, we either myself or the my associate, my assistant CPC or assistant CDS, whatever she is now, Leah Kraft, one of us takes care of these people, and we often will even do it together.
All right, wonderful. What, just briefly, what's the coordination between you and Jefferson County Public Health?
We just both are departments of the county.
Okay, but independent of each other.
Yeah, we're independent of each other. I do work with Chris Estel and the public health unit as far as when individuals that have a disability need assistance in the world that she provides, you know, like home health, or they need a nurse to go or something like that. Certainly I call, and we do coordinate that service.
Okay. So most of your clients though have some kind of a disability.
All of my clients have some kind of a disability.
And give me an example of what a disability is.
Disability in terms of mental health,
okay,
for the most part. And the mental health can be somebody who has mental illness. It can be intellectually disabled, brain injured, mm-hmm, developmentally disabled. Those are the 4 main categories. And most of our people, if not all of them, and I hate to use that word, as Scott and Becky would know, but most of the time it's not all, but most of those people do have co-occurring disorders. Mm-hmm. So like instead of just being mentally ill or just being intellectually disabled, they might also have like heart issues or some such thing that's a medical concern.
Okay. All right. Okay. The in Jefferson County, what kind of services or other kinds of facilities and services and things do we have here? And Becky.
All right. So one of the main purposes of the county and of the region is to provide what we call a continuum of services. So we may have people who need just need some help in a crisis situation. They may need an outpatient mental health appointment to help them through. Some of the people with the more involved disabilities that Sandy talked about may need some help with independent living services, some help with, you know, cooking, cleaning, getting groceries, so that they can live on their own. And that's another push that we have here, is to make sure that people can have as much independence as is possible for their capability. So we provide supportive services for that. If they are not able to live on their own, there are also some homes that can provide 24 hours supervision, and some of those homes are maybe three or four people living in. And then the other thing that's probably been the biggest change over the last year is that we have emergency mental health services, and the county has a contract with Optime to be providing those. We have what we call urgent care appointments at Optime, where they leave open an hour appointment, and if someone, and we've had family members, doctor's offices, other providers call in and say, we need to get this person in right away. In the past, that person might have ended up at the emergency room and in a hospital, but we have that capability of getting someone some outpatient help right away and hope that is enough to take care of.
And even if they have money or not money, they could come on in. And if there's an urgent situation, they could always go to the hospital, and somebody's always on call now as well.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's the next step. If it's a more emergent situation, where someone thinks they might be suicidal or homicidal, then they may end up at the emergency room. And we also have 24/7 on-call mental health therapists who will come to the hospital and do an assessment.
Where do they come from?
And they're also through Optime.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a comment.
Can I interrupt you for just a second? This is KRUU Radio, 100.1 FM on your dial, and you're listening to Mental Health Matters with Scott Terry and Rob Hubler, and carry on.
All right.
That's a requirement that we have to do every now and then.
Not a problem. I just want to say that just recently, Becky has become a therapist here in Jefferson County at Optime, and so she is now one of the on-call therapists that does the 24/7 at the hospital. I just want to put her in there and let you know that
really interesting, Becky, because you really have, from soup to nuts, the whole package. You are everything. You are both a therapist on the ground on the emergency calls. You have your own practice. You contract with this agency in town, Optime. You manage a larger issue, and then you're a politician on top of it, which we should all bow down to.
I'm not sure. She is a supervisor. Maybe we ought to just skip the word politician and say that. She is a supervisor for Jefferson County.
Okay.
Well, I have this dual interest because I love working with people in the mental health field, but I also like the policy and the programming, and that's part of why when they did the redesign legislation, I thought, well, that's going to be a big issue at the supervisor level, so then I decided to run for supervisor, and I didn't have anybody argue with me to get in on that on that part of it. And I'm the only one with mental health background of the supervisors on the regional mental health board. So
and what does a supervisor do? I know it's like, I don't even understand what this.
So it's county management. The big piece of it is the budgeting process.
So there's a budget of so much money, and then people are trying to allocate it. Oh, go to roads, go to sewers, go to this, and you say, no, put some towards mental health, you idiots. You know, there's some people in trouble here.
Yeah, we have take longer to go into all that, but we have a whole series of levies of different pots of money that we manage. So, but mental health is a big piece of that and an important piece.
Mm. So let's move away from the county again and let's go back to mental health here in Jefferson County. Earlier, before the program, Sandy, we were talking about commitment and whether or not do all of the clients that you deal with have to have a commitment?
Oh no,
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 okay.
They don't. In fact, there's a significant number of individuals that when they're having some kind of psychotic or manic episode, they just sort of know, or their family knows, and they are willing to comply, and they go to out to ER here and ultimately to a psych hospital, or they go out to ER here and access a transitional home of some kind or something such as that, or the family drives them to the university or something. The commitments are only for those who are unable to make those choices and are unwilling to cooperate with the providers or the family members that are trying to assist.
And so you're talking about a commitment that actually takes a court order that has to go to court.
Correct.
And things okay.
Correct.
All right. How many homes are there here in Fairfield?
I'm not exactly sure. Last I knew, we had 10. And so it's probably right there in that ballpark, more or less, because sometimes a home will close for a variety of reasons and others then open at some point. I know that, for instance, in our neighboring county and one of our counties in our region, which is Washington, they are in excess of 30, like 33 or something like that. So it depends, and they're similar in size, which is why I brought them up. So it just depends upon our providers and how they want to structure their business and open up the homes. And of course we encourage that because I would like to think that everybody here in Jefferson County would like to keep our people local.
Yeah.
You know, why would we want to send them away somewhere to live if we have the ability to open up a place for them? Which I just want to touch upon something else that Becky said. That brings us into the least restrictive environment, which she was talking about. Didn't use those words, but that's what she was talking about. So if a person has to be in a psych hospital, that's the most restrictive. I mean, you can't get any worse than that to be, you know, when you're sick, you're sick. And, you know, then there's various levels. And so that it doesn't have to follow these steps necessarily, but typically it does. The next drop down level from that is called a residential care facility or an RCF. And our closest one, which is in our region, is Center Village, 17 miles towards Keosauqua down Highway 1. And it's called Center Village. It's operated by one of our providers named Tenco. Tenco also operates, the ones I use is also the other one operated by Tenco, which is in Marion County near Knoxville. And both of those are now 15 beds.
So who would facilities. Be in something like this? Because it sounds like they're doing wonderful services, which is great. What kind of, who would end up in each of these places? If you're in a psych hospital, then you're suicidal, homicidal, you're in really bad shape, something's really going on. This next level, not as restrictive, which is a sort of a full-time home to live in.
Correct.
Right. Is for who?
Well, they house either those individuals that are mentally ill or people that are intellectually disabled, either or. And they just are not able at the points that they're in the RCFs to live in a lesser restrictive environment.
Okay.
So for the people coming out of the psych hospitals, because I'm going to still stick to the whole commitment thing, they usually go to an RCF because they are no longer a danger to themselves or a danger to others, but they are still needing to gain more medical stability.
Mm.
So it's about, you know, continuing on their meds until they, you know, can reach a
better,
higher
baseline.
So you really
need some greater support, and there's somebody at the home who could help them.
In the RCFs. Yeah. And they're staffed at 15 people. You know, there's 15 people in these RCFs. Staff.
You said the closest one is over by Bloomfield?
No. The closest one is towards Cedar or towards Keosauqua.
Okay.
It's only 17. It was their county home.
Not be the county home, and it's got a lot of improvements. It's no longer institutional. None of them are.
Okay, great.
And then some people that are mentally ill and also some individuals that are intellectually disabled really will always need that level. They just don't have the skill level to move into something even more less restrictive.
Okay.
So, but for those that can, then that's when we get into our houses that Becky talked about, the three or four people will stay in a house. Just a house, you know.
Okay.
And they rent
that. Will somebody be there to check in?
And somebody is there to check in on them and help manage them, help manage their meds, you know, make sure that they're, you know, stay compliant, get them to doctor and psych appointments.
Okay, so this is a bit less restrictive.
It's more less restrictive because there's less people, it's better staffing, and they have the ability to actually leave if they want to, because if they're able, you know, if they're at that level, they need to start gaining some freedom and some independence from that 24-hour supervision.
So at what stage was less restrictive enough where you could have some support, but still, let's say, have a part-time job and move on?
It's individualized. And it's never about a time frame for each and every person will be ready to do that in 1 month. It doesn't work that way. Mm. It's totally individualized. Some people may get to the 24-hour sites but never be able to work, and other people might be able to go to work part-time. We do have the workshop in town, which is for those with mental disabilities of some kind, that will help.
Where's that at?
That's out. It's at Tenco Workshop out on Grimes, at the end of Grimes.
Oh, okay.
Clear at the end, almost to where you get to TSC or the motorcycle shop.
So this place is where they can learn some basic basic skills and stuff.
It is, and they'll help the people that are trying to get stable on their mental health stability. It's more about that. It's more about learning how to function. We have businesses all over town. I think the last I heard was they had something like 25 or so businesses that gives them work to do. Wow. You know, right. Like Tiger Direct. You know, I mean,
and when you say give them, they're working through Tenco then?
Yes.
Okay.
They
usually piecework assembling things.
Yeah. Or cleaning, delivering some papers or
shredding
or something.
So this would occur in most towns throughout the country.
Correct. Most counties somewhere, correct.
Right. Because I know in Chicago, where I'm from, that there was a lot of these facilities, and some would be more for mentally handicapped versus physically versus
mentally challenged,
autistic, let's say, but
or,
still
or just
functional.
Normal Chicago people,
or more normal Chicago people, maybe have been drinking a bit too much.
Yeah,
you know. Yes. So there's all kinds of levels, and if somebody needs more support. And, I mean, there's so much to follow here. And by the way, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and KRUU-FM. What else would you suggest? Where do they go to find out about all this stuff?
Well, the local providers also get a lot of phone calls. Where I'm most familiar with Optime. And the phone's ringing all the time, and there's a lot of referral service going on there. There are also another new piece that we should mention. There's a drop-in center that is just brand new, and it looks kind of like a garage on the corner of the Optime lot.
Okay.
And they're trying to get together a lot of very interesting classes just to give people a place to come and get acquainted with other people, get more community connections. They've had anger management classes. They've had classes for people involved in domestic violence.
Writing class? I know somebody that's
going to
go to
writing class.
Death and Dying, the Death Cafe is there. Which is wonderful. Jennifer's taking care of the Jennifer and Liza are doing some of that.
And then they have
grief.
Grief counseling, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then they have open hours also, so someone can just come in if they don't want to be there when a class is there and just need someone to talk to.
And how do they find out about all this stuff? Because there's so much going on here. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And we just keep trying. We try to mention things at the supervisors' meeting because that gets on the radio and in the newspaper. And so I don't know. If people have suggestions for how to get the word out, that would be great.
I will say that anybody that wants to contact me, and this is Sandy Stever, can call my office. That number is 641-472-8637.
Say that one again.
641-472-8637. And they certainly
Your office
can,
is where?
And my office is in the basement. I know. I know.
It's nice. It's okay. Well, it's not nice. All right. But anyway, it's okay.
It serves its purpose, I guess. Yeah, but it's in the basement of the courthouse.
They unlock the chains and let you out every once in a while. Yes.
Occasionally.
The dungeon is.
As long as Becky's with me to watch me.
I see. And by the way, if anybody ever has a question about anything, you feel free to email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm100.1. on that. Okay.
And you said in the basement, but never finished it, the basement of the courthouse.
The basement of the courthouse. Right. And also, I mean, that's just an easy way to access services and to ask about services. I just want to say that we have three providers. We've talked about at least two of them, but the three providers that are in this county that I work with are, you know, Optime, Entenco, and First Resources.
And First Resources, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and now you're going to be working with Arden Center because we're going to talk to you about how we can support you.
That'd be great.
But yes, you got to go right now. So let's pause for a second and say goodbye.
All right. Well, anytime you want to invite me back, that'd be great.
We will
do that.
One of the things I wanted to mention, as Sandy said, we could potentially have more homes for people in the community. One of the barriers is finding good staff. Mm. And we're really trying to get the word out that we need people interested in this field. And for the direct service work, you don't need a degree. You just really need a good heart and an interest in it and willingness to learn good ways of managing people with mental illness or intellectual disabilities.
Expand on direct service just quickly, what
that
means.
There are two different levels. There's the providing help to people in their homes, in their apartments, where, as I mentioned before, cooking, cleaning, good, you know, maybe some parenting skills, things like that. It's for qualifications, it's very similar to a CNA. That you know might work certified nursing
assistant
okay, that would work in a nursing home or a assisted living, and then there's the home situations that we talked about, well, where you have three or four unrelated people living together that just need support with medications and
so
with
what you're
coping.
Telling me is there's actually jobs available.
Exactly,
come here. Get a job.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Who do you contact?
Because that,
who do you contact?
Yeah, and that was one of the delays.
Becky, can they contact you? Or should they contact
Yeah, they
Steve
can contact me, Sandy. can contact Sandy, any of the
or they could
agencies.
Or they could always contact us, and we will put them in touch with you.
Right, yeah, because that was one of the delays in opening the new transition home with Tenco, was they had trouble finding good staff. So
that's something that we'll talk about afterwards, because I have some ideas for you guys.
Okay,
good.
Because
I supervise and train therapists.
Do you have any idea, maybe not a good question, but what the pay level is on that? No.
I don't think we can answer that. You'd have to check with the agencies
on that.
Well, it said
in the paper that it was more than McDonald's, but... okay, all right.
All right, well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming here. It was so fantastic. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right.
We'll see you again soon. All right, Rob, so finish on up for us, Rob.
Well, I think one of the things that's clear is that we need a lot more information around the county in terms of what facilities are available, what therapies available, what agencies are available. But one of the places that everyone can go is to Sandy's office, which again her number is 641-472-8637, and can also go to the people that they work with, Optime and First Resources and Arden, and I think there was a fourth. What was the fourth?
In this town...
Tenco. Yeah, right.
But there's certainly... We're pulling together a new website, which will have all the therapists and who you see for what purposes.
Say we, meaning Jefferson County Alliance.
Mental Health Alliance, which is the first and third Tuesdays of the month, right now at Dreyer Hall on campus, and soon going to be one on campus and one off campus. Anyways, there are resources in this town, and we're pulling it together, and we'd love your help. The bottom line is we need your support to make this happen.
Right. And this is KRUU-FM Radio 100.1, Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Rob Huber. And thanks all for listening.
Bye.